Hi, I'm Tony, a.k.a. Spool32, and you are listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community, by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
I'm Shauna, a.k.a. Cat Dragonstar.
What?
You said go! I did!
And this is Trey, a.k.a. Eshercon Zelo, and I'm just here.
And I'm Dave, Eat to Surf, and my daughter's talking to me at the moment.
Hi.
I don't know. Hi.
Say hello.
She can't hear you.
Well, we heard her, and she sounded really cute. And you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, peoples, this is episode 118. Welcome back. So we welcome back to the show Tony, a.k.a. Spool32, owner and proprietor.
No.
Avalis, MMOR, what?
I'm not. I'm just a...
That's right. I'm sorry.
I'm a senior DM and a treasurer for the nonprofit that runs the servers.
You're not the owner?
No, I'm not the owner. I know.
But he is the senior DM.
If you're not, like, taking
so he's the treasurer. You handle what? You handle the coffers, the gold?
Yes. Our nonprofit handles all the donations, and we handle all the server maintenance and, also the license for the all of the intellectual property that we use.
Okay, cool. I didn't mean to choke you up there.
That sounds like official.
It is, actually. It's kind of...
Dave, we can't hear you.
That sounds like it's official.
Okay, that's better.
And so I may actually have to talk to Tony after the session to talk about this nonprofit handling of donations.
Wait, so you own the nonprofit?
Yes, that's right.
Or do you run the nonprofit?
No.
You're the treasurer for the nonprofit. Okay,
that's
gotcha.
Correct, yeah.
Gotcha. Sorry. I was trying to be funny.
Oh, well, so much for that.
Okay, so we got any news tonight?
News?
Hello, where did the dragon go?
Okay. News? You wanted news?
Yeah, sure.
Let's just do
a little bit of news because we haven't done any news in a while.
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, we do have some news. I went out scrounging around, and even though the community is quiet right now, there are a couple of new things. CEP has posted their current 2.3 beta on the Vault. They apparently think that they're getting close to a final release, although no specific date has been mentioned. They must have learned from BioWare not to give those kinds of things out. And we've posted the link to the Vault on our news notes.
Chico 400 continues his work upgrading and retexturing some of the basic NWN tile sets.
Chico like and the man?
And the man. Like the Crypts and Ruins. And we're going to have a link there as well. There's new additions include animated sunlight rays.
I'm sorry. Y'all are wanting to be serious, and I just want to have some fun.
Well we could
girls,
do that.
They want to have fun.
Hey, buddy, watch it there. I'll show you, girl.
Oh! There's a new mod that has been released that's a revision of, it's called I, Strahd by Kenneth J. Lamella.
Easy for
I
you
was
to
taking
say.
Lessons from Trey on that, from Kenneth J. Lamella and Mutant Spicy. This is a Ravenloft module for Neverwinter Nights 1. Looked pretty. Yeah, easy for me to say. Looked pretty catchy, and for those who are interested in Ravenloft, I'd suggest you check it out.
I'm sorry. Mutant Spicy?
Mutant Spicy.
Oh, that's great.
It's at least as good as AsherCon.
Oh, these
all
names
I read
kill
is
me.
Mutant Spicy has been revised and re-released.
No, 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 no. iStrad by Kenneth.
No, that's a person.
Mutant Spicy has been revised and released.
That's
now,
a person's game name.
In there.
I know. I know.
I don't know. My dragon tone there got a little high-pitched. Sorry, guys.
I was just
and
thinking
for our
of the
last
salt
bit of
named
news,
Pepper.
Cut it out. Okay. Which is not Sorry. Quite the same as cut it out. Yes, oh, okay. The Community Adventure Project, which is a persistent world, is looking for DMs. Pay close attention to this, Spool. For the project, it has been more than a year in the making. This is a world created with the Forgotten Realms as a very distant background, and the world of Icarus was born. Long ago, around a distant star, upon a faraway and fabled world, the goddess Mistral sacrificed herself to set right the forces over which the evil archmage Karsus sought dominion. At the climax of that epic struggle, the goddess destroyed herself to shatter the source of Karsus' power, the artifact known as the Mithilar. Karsus himself was petrified, imprisoned in living stone for all eternity, buried beneath the ruins of his tyrannical empire.
The Mithilar and its pieces were scattered to the far corners of the universe, and despite what you think you may know, the world of Faerun was not the only world devastated by the death of the goddess of magic. The eruption of chaotic energies created when the Mithilar was destroyed very nearly destroyed the world of Icarus as well.
And we've posted a link to that. They are looking for DMs.
Okay, so is it me or is the Neverwinter Nights community quiet lately?
And the sound of crickets. Everywhere. Well, you know, I suspect that they're probably all off
playing something, aren't they?
Something.
I wonder what that is.
I don't know.
I don't know. I've got this.
You know, listen. Hey, everybody be quiet for a second. I hear somebody playing it in the background.
Oh, God. Blasphemers.
You know.
So Tony, turn around and tell us what's going on.
This looks like Endgame, actually, going on over there.
Oh, wow.
I can't look because I haven't finished it yet.
Oh, okay, don't look. Okay, don't look. Turn back around. Put your mic back in your mouth.
If you love something, set it free. If it comes back to you,
it was never meant to be.
If it comes back to you.
We're hoping people come back, see, then never mind.
Actually, I've been spending a lot of time on social.bioware.com talking about multiplayer for this new game and the possibilities of it, and inviting people to come back to the NWN community as they talk about how much they want role-playing multiplayer.
Oh, really?
Yes, I've been spending
a
lot of time.
How well has that went over?
It has gone over quite well, actually. Huh. We've gotten a few new players in specifically from that. And, you can even join the Neverwinter Nights 1 Persistent World group if you go to social.bioware.com and look up my nick. Join in.
Cool.
Cool.
So as we said earlier, Tony, a.k.a. Spool32 from the World of Avalis, has joined us. So, Tony, what's new over at Avalis?
Oh, gosh. A whole lot of stuff, I suppose. First of all, I want to give a big thank you to everybody in our community, in particular the player who goes by the name Grunt, and everybody in general. We did a donation drive across August, and by the end of it, we have put Avalis on 100% financial stability. The user community is supporting us month to month for everything now.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
It's we have all the bandwidth covered, forums month to month are covered, even the electricity for the servers.
Awesome.
Wow. Outstanding.
Yeah,
I know you said in the last interview, last time you were on the show, how many servers that was, but how many is it?
It's one big box. It's a dual quad core. We upgraded from 12 to 24 gigs of RAM, and it is running Ubuntu Linux, ESXi, and supporting 9 virtual machines. 10 virtual machines, 9 NWN1 servers and the NWN2 server.
How cool is that?
That's pretty impressive.
It's a heck of a machine, yeah.
Especially since the server that runs my persistent world, I have to feed the chipmunks every week.
Well, before the nonprofit took over Avlis, we were running on a collection of cast-off junk and cobbled together bits of terribleness. So it's been a huge, huge boost for the community to have a really nice server.
Were you still using 286s?
I don't know what we were using. It was all crap, though.
And baling wire.
It was terrible.
And how often were you feeding your chipmunks?
Not
Dragon.
Often enough, I guess.
Now, Dragon, I would think you would have nights running yours.
Well, they would if I would just stop popping the tops off.
If you stop eating them.
I would stop eating the nights. Well, we'd probably do much better.
So, Tony, did you guys have an event in the NWN Con 5 that happened last month?
We didn't, unfortunately. I was actually really disappointed about that. I ended up getting the H1N1 along with my entire family, and we were all sick for about. I must have been sick for 5 weeks, but we were all sick for a long time, and so
I did that.
I fell out of the community. By the time I was recovered, it was 2 days before the con, so I completely missed our opportunity.
I know we didn't do anything either.
I played in there. I went. I played in a War of the Worlds modern D20.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Is that fun?
But they had it on Halloween weekend.
Yeah, I know.
And
stuff.
Yeah, it's
up with that cat.
That's a tough call.
Yeah, it was a weird weekend to have it on, but we were so sick. I was going to do a workshop on DMing, but I forgot what planet I was on for a month.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I had that, and except my wife barely got it, my kids barely got it, and I was like drowning, you know.
It was horrible. Yeah. It was horrible.
I told you not to kiss that pig.
I still can't lay on my back without half drowning. I don't think you can catch it over the mic.
Well,
I don't know if the mic's inside your mouth. Is that a? Oh no! I felt the germs jumping on me already.
Well, actually, I haven't been contagious for like 3 weeks or so, I guess.
Well, I tried to join an event on Saturday of the NWN Con, or was that Sunday? I can't remember. Anacola was having one of their jousting tournaments or something. I went to join and then realized I had to download 400 freaking mega new updates. And by the time I got all downloaded, it was over.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's kind of the story of one's life, isn't it? By the time I downloaded all the crap, my life was over.
I missed it.
Well, I wouldn't say it was crap. I just said it was just a lot of stuff.
Oh, sorry. All I want to know is Running of the Bulls.
Yes.
So, Tony, did you ever get the Running of the Bulls worked out in your persistent world?
I did. It was hilarious, actually. It was really fun.
You didn't tell me you didn't tell me so I could come.
Yeah, we didn't announce it.
I got it working, and so I just went ahead with it. There were a lot of people on that night, and it was really
funny. Same night that we talked about it?
Yeah, yeah, yep. It was like 2 nights later. But, yeah, I got it.
Like a biannual event.
I should. I should do it every time they do it in real life.
No, I'll do it twice as much as that.
Well, so what did you have running, like Centaur? Or
yes, Minotaurs.
Minotaurs, I mean. Sorry,
about 25 of them, I think.
Cool.
So one of the new tools we have for DMs allows you to select a group of NPCs and have them all follow your DM avatar. So I just had them chasing me around the server. It was awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
So what did people say as you went by?
Well, I mean, it was chaos.
did anybody try to kill them?
So they can all follow the DM? Yeah. All your NPCs can follow the DM?
You can just continue to select NPCs and they'll follow you.
Because I used to have to possess and then follow one. They'd follow in a big long chain.
Yes, yeah, that's how DMFI has to do it. We have some new tools that we've developed that, and you also don't need a wand to do it. You can just do it from the command line.
Where do I get that?
Yeah, really?
you know, I don't know if that stuff is available in the vault.
Maybe we should be having that DM seminar soon. You know, we haven't run one of the DM conferences on Neverwinter Connections that somebody convinced me to start up some time ago, and then it kind of drifted off. Maybe we should be talking about that again.
I would love to do that. That'd be fun.
Well, you know, Stryker is working. Have you been watching the threads on the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Yeah.
Persistent Worlds roundtable that we're trying to have, which I just wrote down a note to myself. Ask Tony if there's anybody there from your worlds that would maybe want to join that in that conversation, or maybe yourself would.
Sure, I mean, absolutely.
And it's going to be like, and I think today, Stryker even fleshed out some topics that he wants to talk about. But it's going to be about the good, the bad, and the ugly
of DMing or of running worlds,
persistent worlds.
I think that'd be fantastic.
So, if you or anybody else wants to join,
sure.
Send me their emails, and I'll get them on the thread that Stryker's got going.
Okay.
So how many players you have on average these days?
Right now, right as we speak, I've got 23 logged in. I guess it fluctuates somewhere between 15 and 40. Maybe we may get up to 45 or 50 on the weekends. Usually not, though.
So, like, you could look over right now and you see how many, and you could just hit, like, close server, and they'd all be off their desks going, oh, yeah!
I use a tool called ServerWatch, and it sits in my system tray and monitors how many players are on each one of the servers. So I can just look at a glance and see who's online and where they are.
The power.
All right, well, let me ask you this, then. In this day and age where players are hard to come by, for Neverwinter Nights,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of servers either have faded away, gone away, gotten lost, or they've got nothing going on. How is it that Avalis manages to maintain that kind of a player base besides the kick-ass new server?
Well, first of all,
that was a good question I wrote.
That is a good question. one of the things we do is we're aggressive marketing. I try to be visible in the community, and I'm shameless about inviting people to come over and try us out. I mean, it never hurts to ask. And if you never tell anybody you exist, then oftentimes they won't think about it. Or they won't try it. We do a lot of stuff in the real world. We have some very good graphic designers as part of the community. And so, when any of our members go out to, play pen and paper cons, they usually take a flyer and leave it at the table and talk to the people they're playing pen and paper with about Avalis. And so we catch a few players like that here and there. I guess it's word of mouth. We have a lot of meets around the country and around the world, and we just everybody tries their best to grab their friends or to give out a copy of Diamond Edition to somebody who they think might like it and get them to try playing.
Have you found out that families kind of play together?
Yeah, we have an age limit of 16, but we have many, many times had, you know, of course we've been around since 2002, so there are, you know, parents whose kids were 12 when they started playing and now they play too.
You mean age?
Yeah.
Minimum of 16?
That's right, there's a minimum 16
years. Yes, you can play, Trey.
You're right. Hey.
But only if his mother says he can.
Hey, do y'all smell something? Do you smell that?
I'm not even going what, wherever you're going.
What is that smell?
I'm not in the same room.
It's your brain, Trey.
Wait, hold on. I swear I smell something.
You smell something? Does it have two legs?
I smell something. Y'all smell that? Look, it's a skunk!
A skunk here?
He who smelt it dealt it.
Skunk! Oh my God, it is a skunk!
Hey, man.
Hey there, Tony Spool.
How's it going?
I just woke up, so I'm going to go right.
How's it going, eh?
I've got some coffee on my feet if you need some.
We were so loud we woke up the skunk.
Stirred with toe, huh? Toe jam coffee. I haven't experienced that yet.
Sure that's not Stephen Wright?
Speaking of the good, bad, and the ugly that we were kind of talking about, which is the next couple of questions that I wrote in here, was I was actually thinking about that when I wrote them. So, Tony, what makes a good persistent world? What makes y'all's persistent worlds good?
I think, first of all, it has to be the community. If your community isn't interested in playing and role-playing with each other and logging in, and if your community is not active, then it doesn't really matter how awesome your systems are, how great your world design is. It's how fantastically written your backstory for your world is. It's never going to be used or appreciated. So I think the most important thing is the community members. Apart from that, I think one of the things that makes the persistent world good is consistency. You have to maintain internal consistency in your world. You have to make sure that that things all fit together as far as the story is concerned, the conversations the NPCs have, and the way the world is designed makes sense. You know, it's the little things like transitioning south and appearing on the east side of a map that just screws people up, and it just annoys them. You have to have an active staff. You have to have DMs that are willing to dive in there and get out of their comfort zone and run events for people, especially people that they don't know or people they've never seen before. One of the things that we do on Avalis a lot is make an effort to spend time DMing groups that we've never DM'd before, grabbing PCs that we've never seen before, or players who we've never run an event for, and doing something for them. So I think that really makes a difference as well.
Okay. Conversely, what are some of the things that a persistent world does that is bad?
I think the
you
big
mean bad as in good or as in bad as in bad?
Bad as in bad, I assume.
I'm sorry,
boy.
I can't resist myself.
bad as in I don't ever want to play there again.
That sucked.
Yeah. Firstly, I think that a community that's hostile to new players is just going to ruin any, no matter how good the world is. If the community is hostile to new players, if they're cliquish, if they just like to own new players and that's all they ever do. And they're never going to be popular. They're never going to be any fun. I think apart from sort of difficult community integration, the other big problem that makes a persistent world a bad world is when they're consistency. When their world is poorly designed, and that could be anything from obviously copying generic fantasy names and settings, and to bad design, not having your, like I was saying, transitioning south to the east side of a map. yeah, it's
without a reason anyway.
Yeah, without a reason. If the consistency is bad, or if there are things that just break internal the internal suspension of disbelief that you have to have. Everybody has to have some buy-in, and if you're constantly being sort of reminded that you're playing a game instead of being able to be immersed in the world, then you're just gonna turn off to it and go somewhere else.
Okay, last question along this line, just kind of trying to whet our listeners' appetites for what's coming. What's the most ugliest thing you've ever seen in a persistent world?
That
sentence.
What was wrong with that?
What is the ugliest thing you've ever seen?
What is the most ugliest?
Okay.
Not just ugliest.
What is the
most
ugliest
thing? He wants the most ugliest thing.
I think the ugliest thing I've ever seen in a persistent world never actually made it live, and it was an area I built.
Oh, no.
Honesty kills.
It was so dire that our quality...
How ugly was it?
It was horrible.
Ugly.
It was so ugly that our QA manager banned me from the toolset forever.
Boy, that's bad. Life.
I am no longer allowed to develop areas for Avalis under any circumstances.
That's not necessarily
cool. Are you
going to
put that
thing
on the vault so we can see it?
No. It was dire. It was a map with the Worm Swamp tile set, and I don't know how I broke it that badly, but you couldn't even walk from one end to the other. It was just horrible.
I'm sorry.
Skunk, what's the worst you've ever seen?
Myself.
Most of them. Okay, go back to your cereal, man.
I don't know. I did a DMFI training session with Skunk, and one of the players logged on and obviously had her own equipment from her own world, and so nothing was working. And so Skunk says, "Oh, it's okay. I can do this whole session naked as well." And so he took off all of his clothing, and then his avatar
goodness.
Took off all of his clothing. And
too much information.
I know. It was too
but
much information.
Seriously, ladies and germs.
So, Tony, have you ever seen a skunk sacrificed to, say, a dragon queen?
I have not.
Would you like to?
Would you like to?
Not especially.
You know, in my time, I've been quite the dragon slayer, so bring it on. Easy.
I'm not sure what this next question was brought about.
I'm sitting there just trying to think of questions off the top of my head.
Yeah.
This was kind of a spur of the moment, bring Tony on the show kind of deal. So,
spur of the moment, Tony.
Yes.
Trey wants to know, what is the most sensual, the prettiest NPC you've ever created, and why?
Well, I actually don't do a whole lot of that. My wife is also a senior DM on Avalis, and when that sort of thing is called for, she's usually the one who does it.
Excellent.
Nice save.
And where do I go in the world to meet one of these NPCs? Logs in now. Not joking.
What is the most evil NPC? Can we narrow that down? Say, what is the most evil NPC?
That's a question for everybody, really.
That you've ever created.
I've ever created. I think
created or not, you know, it could have spawned itself.
I ran a plot through 2006. It lasted most of the. I guess it probably lasted an entire year, maybe 13 months. And I spent a lot of time when I wasn't running the plot reading Wikipedia entries for members of the Third Reich. They thrived on causing pain, following the god of suffering, and I designed the cult so that they were very, very, very nationalistic. This was the first big plot to run after the end of the 3-year-long war that happened in game, and so there was still a lot of nationalist fervor around, and I wanted to sort of highlight that, and so all of their rhetoric was basically just a couple of steps farther than most of the PCs had been talking about for the last 3 years, and so it made for a lot of moral ambiguity, and the NPC was quite evil. Yeah.
Scary evil.
I did a lot of running an event and then going to the local PC hangout and possessing chickens and pecking people on the feet and other ridiculous silliness just to kind of cool down from it. It was pretty intense.
Licking the coffee off their feet.
Yes, yes.
The scariest one I've seen was this big, huge giant.
But I'm bum.
I'm just trembling.
Fangs and stuff.
I have a couple of evil wizards that I bring back regularly right now, and the main intention is to highlight for characters the idea that you don't have to eat babies and wish the destruction of humanity in order to be evil. These guys are very, very, very self-centered. They just really don't give a damn what you think.
This China had a golden chicken.
Not a golden goose?
Or goose. I'm sorry, goose.
Actually, it was a chicken.
Yeah, I thought it was chicken, too. We need a goose.
They don't have a goose.
Well, in terms of evil NPCs, I'll bet Skunk has probably created a few.
Yes.
No.
I could give you some pointers, but you would just think I'm just an awful bastich.
No.
We already think
no
that.
No, we wouldn't.
No one would tell you that.
Represent your evil character as the light.
You have to be willing to go there.
That's
you have
evil.
To be willing to go there as a DM and inhabit that.
Explore it.
I remember the first time I tried to DM for evil. Yeah. The first time I tried to DM for evil players, I was completely thrown off because I was a group of very evil characters, and I brought out my evil bad guy, and they sympathized with him and wanted to join in. I was completely,
wasn't ready for that.
I was absolutely unready for that.
Robin Hood syndrome.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, it was a mess. I had no preparation, no plans whatsoever for them wanting to join into with the evilness.
And you were like, "Stop it! You're not supposed to do that."
That's exactly what I was thinking. You're supposed to fight the bad guy. What are you people doing?
Whoops! The server's crashing.
Oh darn! Look.
Oh man.
We see through such a.
How many DMs do you have on the Avalis servers?
We just hired 4 new ones, so I think we're up to around 20 again.
Hired? You pay them?
No, we don't pay them. Oh. We pay them 0, and if they do a great job, we double their salaries.
How much is there on there if you don't have any DMs on? Or like?
Sorry?
Is there anything to do if you don't have any DMs on?
Yeah, we've got 9 Interlink servers, and I think at last count we had over 100 dungeons. And dozens of quests and a fully implemented crafting system, including magic weapon artificing. So there's tons and tons to do if there's no DMs around.
So let's say that you wanted to go play every world that you have, every area that you have. How long would it take you?
There's 3,000 areas approximately. So it's going to take you a long time.
3,000? How many minutes area?
I haven't been to all the areas, and I've been playing since 04.
Oh my gosh.
Let's say 10 minutes in the area.
You know, that's inconceivable.
30,000 minutes.
That's inconceivable.
<It's> inconceivable.
That is pretty amazing. From somebody who builds on a regular basis and DMs having 3,000 areas.
And none of those are your areas, right?
No, none of them. I have designed not a one.
And you've been banned, so none will be.
No, not. Never see an area I built.
And you know what else? Their place is not the only place that has that many areas as well.
Yeah. No. Alpha's old servers, I don't know if they're version 1, Neverwinter Nights is up, but their stuff was huge, and there are a couple of other worlds out there that are approaching that size.
I'd be curious to know how many in the community, how many worlds in the community have, you know, over 1,000 areas.
As a DM, how do you find somebody if there's 3,000 areas and you want to find
Well, there's
them?
Not. There's 9 servers. No, so, first of all, I've got Server Watch here, so I can just see if they're who's on which servers, and then I just log onto the server and run a mouse over the area over the portraits, and that tells me where they are.
You can do that too, Dave.
That sounded too. No, I was thinking of flipping through the chooser and I'm like.
Oh God, no! just mouse over their portraits.
I was just thinking about scrolling up and down the list of the areas, going. Yeah. Why'd they name that?
Well, yeah, how do you come up with 3,000 names for areas?
Yeah, sometimes they're a little difficult to find. You know, it's Elysia Northwest Borderlands, Elysia West Borderlands, Elysia West Northwest Borderlands. Yes.
Let's see, what are we going to call this area? How about area?
Area. Area 3, Area 5.
North, Area 51.
There, on the Makona server, there's about 100 areas called House.
Oh well, that narrows it down. Yeah,
yeah, I know, right? That's our oldest server, so that would have been designed in 02 and 03.
Meet me in the house.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun game.
Find the house. Where's the house? Which house am I in?
Well, I know Sojourney. I think we're up to 850 some odd areas. So you guys, of course, we've just got the one server.
That's big for a single server, for a single module. That's really big.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
really big shoe.
So I can't even begin to imagine, you know, trying to match ATs up and doors and stuff. I know how long our string gets when we're trying to match up doors on one side to the other.
Right. It's a huge project. I know. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Mad Cat or not from NWN2 and her other work in the community. She is our QA manager. And we have a separate server that we run specifically for QA and a corporate-style subversion module version checking system and a group of QAers that log onto the server to test things for us. So, I mean, it takes a whole team of people to make sure that things don't get into the world that are broken and that we don't break existing content when we add stuff in.
Yeah, that is more important than one might think.
It's, absolutely. It's hugely important.
It's a huge, you know, too. I remember one we had that we wound up with. You'd go through the front gates and wind up on the top of the keep with the orc guards who were standing up there. And we were like, fancy this. And, you know, and we'd get this, hello, we're on the top of this keep and we can't get down.
Yes. Yes.
Know, so that's, you know, and that's a bad thing. That's kind of.
You know, we had that problem for a long time. Back in the old days, every server was sort of like the module coordinator's personal fief, and he did things his own way. But it just as we grew, it got to be very, very broken. And I can't say enough good about Mad Cat and the QA staff. They really, really, really do a lot for making sure that the world acts right and it all fits together properly.
Naming conventions.
Yes, naming conventions. Yes. What's the most important? Naming convention. Second?
Underscores or dashes?
And removing all the heartbeat scripts.
Yeah. Yeah, that would do. Well, that's I'm impressed, Tony, just by listening to what you've talked about. This is not a little undertaking, and for you to have the size of community that you still have shows that you all are doing it right.
Yes, see, size does matter.
Yes, size does matter, yes.
Yeah, people on the server, it makes a difference. It makes a difference when people look just to see if there are numbers there.
So what do y'all want to talk about now?
I had a couple of other things I wanted to mention, if you guys still have time.
You betcha.
First, I want to say thanks to Psi Omega for fixing one of the longest-standing BioWare problems in the game. He developed and we just released a system to fix the way your character grabs stacks of arrows when you're fighting. I don't know if you guys play an archer or not, but when you do and you run out of arrows, the default BioWare script will grab one through some arcane and possibly random choice out of your bags. And then you can end up firing half of your 4 million gold arrows of wizard slaying at the kobolds, and before you realize it,
I've done that.
Yes, everybody's done that if they played an archer.
Stop!
We have a system live now on the servers where you can where players can select the order in which they want arrows to be loaded up when the last stack runs out, and. Wow. It works fantastically and is incredible. So, I mean, it's just a little thing, but it's been an annoyance since day one. And all of our players are really pleased. Every time they pull out a bow, they think about that.
Wow!
So is that via conversation or?
There's like a player tool that it's just something you can drop in your quick bar. It's not an item in your inventory.
Right.
And you just
like a dice bag, but.
Basically, yeah. So you just click the you type in ammo toggle on, and then you click the arrows that you want in the order you want, and that's how they show up when you load up, when you're firing them.
Awesome.
That is awesome. Absolutely awesome.
It's really neat. It's really neat. So the other thing, if I've got another minute.
We have all the minutes you want.
I'm sorry, we're over 1 minute.
We're over a minute. Damn it.
Yeah, I've got to go watch my recording of Dances with Stars. Come on.
He's not kidding. But you do have time.
Okay.
I am too kidding.
Like I said before, we had a huge donation drive, and Avalis is not only are we financially solvent now. The nonprofit that runs the servers has a little over $600 in the bank.
Oh, wow!
And one of the things that we want to do in order to generate some more density and some more content for Avalis is to kick off a dungeon building competition. We are going to be inviting anybody in the community who wants to design a dungeon for us, and we'll have a web page with specifications and the sorts of things that we'd like to see. And then we will run the contest through the end of, oh gosh, it's late in the month now, probably through, at least through Christmas, maybe a little later. We were going to put depending on how many we get, we'll either put the top five or the top three that pass our QA system live into the world and let our user community vote on which one they like the best. And the winner will get $100.
Awesome.
Wow.
So what's in the details of how big the areas can be and such would be?
That's right. Yeah, we're looking for a substantial dungeon. We're looking for at least 10 to 15 areas and hopefully a quest boss. But I'll have all the specifications up on our webpage for people to look at.
That right.
Employees of Neverwinter Nights podcast and Avalis are not eligible for the contest. No, I'm joking. I can tell Dave wants to build one.
What? I quit.
That would be the most money Dave has ever made off of the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, well, I mean, it's...
That assumes Dave would actually have a shot at winning.
Well, I mean, I'll be very upfront. It's a great way for us to get five excellent new dungeons into the world because we're going to leave the top ones in regardless of who wins. But I'm hoping that it'll drive some more builders to our community and maybe make somebody a little bit of cash.
Cool.
It's a great idea.
And we need that kind of interest in NWN again. So that's perfect timing.
It really is.
All right, cool. Anything else, Tony?
Nothing else for me.
Okay, hey, I want to say thank you for joining us. That was awesome. Hope you had fun.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, before we close, though, what I'd like to do, I'd like to mention once again, I'd like to plug Striker B's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly Persistent World roundtable that we're going to be having coming up pretty soon. We don't know the date yet, but hopefully in the next month.
And we will be taking questions from the IRC channel.
I definitely want to be involved in that.
Yeah, so I was going to say, Tony... Or as I said earlier, if there's anybody there that either yourself or anybody else that wants to come join us,
sure, we'll be happy to promote it on the Avalis site too.
Okay, cool. Oh, and also I was going to say, if you want to advertise your contest and all of our episodes going forth until it begins or ends, or whenever you don't need it anymore, if you want to record a little sound bite, you know, tonight or in the next couple of days and send it to me, I'll put it in all the episodes for you.
All right, that sounds perfect. Thank you.
And also, just to kind of give you everybody a taste of what's coming with this roundtable, I'm going to read off some of the topics that Stryker's already come up with. One of the topics he's come up with, and y'all we can discuss these too if y'all want. He wants to cover the balance between creative building and storytelling on a persistent world. That sounds like an interesting subject.
And an important one, and one that's hard to get to.
It is, actually. I know I've seen plots derailed before because the DM in question was he had a fantastic vision and a great idea, but it needed areas built in order to have it happen, and the area build process was just so slow that the plot ended up petering out.
Yes, I've seen that happen, too.
And another subject he came up with was, it's big, it's Uber, how the hell do you kill it?
It's big. So... It's Uber. Now how do we kill it?
Okay, so Dave, you can do a jingle for that one. So that one's kind of, you know, how do you go about overpowered monsters and servers that have no clue about how frustrating that is to the players, is that topic. And I think most of this stuff he's coming up with is from experience, I would think. So,
sure.
I'm sure everybody has experienced some of this stuff, that some of these topics. His third topic is called Well Written and Executed: How Do Scripts Affect the Game World? That's a good one. And Axe Murderer is going to be present for this roundtable as well. So
for the execution.
And you know what he's all about, scripts.
And scripts are tough because there are very few really good scripters around. And the ones who
Sunjammer around?
The ones who are good have been locked into dungeons and are and occasionally have food and wine thrown down to them.
We have two really good guys, Psyomega and Nob, and we absolutely couldn't run Avalis without them.
I see. Now there's two more topics, and then we'll close it up. Another topic was rules, rules, rules. So it's written, so shall it be. Enough said.
Sounds like a Motley Crue
song. So I guess that's
a
topic talking about.
Rules, rules, rules.
So I guess how the different worlds have so many rules that you have to abide by.
And they're all the same ones.
And you probably have to balance
them. Often are, yeah.
Yeah. You probably have to balance them so you don't run people off.
Right. We went through that on Sojourney not too long ago. Well, probably a couple of years ago. Where we discovered that we had to balance all the rules that we had against just play and play nice, mm-hmm. is kind of what we kind of eventually boiled down to, and it has gone a long ways towards making life simpler for everybody.
We reserve the right to refuse service.
We reserve the right to bounce your butt off of the server if you act like a jerk.
Yeah,
that's rule 2, C number 1.
That's right.
It's a tough balance. Our old world leader used to say that every rule that we have on Avalis is there because somebody was an asshole and we had to create one.
Exactly.
Signs everywhere, the signs.
And they're all posted on signs right outside the entry area.
Here's your sign.
That say, read me.
Like a billboard as you walk.
Examine me.
That's right. Examine me. That's right. And then his fifth suggestion is, what can a PW in Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2 do to make it better or accessible for every player? Which is of what Tony has talked about tonight.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that roundtable. I bet we're going to get really deep into a lot of those topics. I think it'll be fun.
And it may well be one of those sessions that run into two sessions.
I'll just show up and make fun of everybody.
Well, that'll work.
Okay. Thank you.
And then at the end,
lucky
we won't have
relief.
So everybody promote this. He wants us to promote this because I think Striker's wanting to. I've let him run with this. I mean, I came up with the idea, but I've let him run with it, and he's been doing pretty good so far. So, Skunk, you going to be there?
Sure.
All right.
Someday we'll get
with your cereal?
Two-word answer out of him.
Are you done with your cereal?
Yep, onto a cigarette now.
All right. Okay, so everybody pick a number between 1 and 20.
17.
Oh,
that's funny.
1.
Both pick 17. Well, that's okay. 2 17s is okay.
1.
1. Skunk, what's your number?
10.
All right.
Did you roll for that number?
Here comes the number.
9. Did anybody say
10 was said.
Nobody said 9, and re-rolling the dice until you get what you want is not fair.
Well, no, it fell off. Crap, it keeps falling.
How many times have we heard that?
Another 9.
Fell off the table.
No, seriously, it keeps rolling off the table.
Reroll.
Did anybody say 13?
It's 666 upside down, Trey.
I said 13.
Nobody said 9. Why are you rerolling?
Because I was going to try to roll a number that somebody said.
Oh, jeez. No, Skunk's closest.
Okay, Skunk, you get
take
to
it from
do,
a DM. You're
Skunk,
not going to roll the 7.
Skunk, you get to do the closing.
Oh, great.
Get in game.
Until next time.
Get in game.
And level up.
No, Skunk gets to do it.
He's got three.
He won. Okay. Do it again, Skunk.
Until next time, folks. Get in game. Level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2009.
Dave, where are you?
I'm right here.
Dave's not here, man.
Oh, let's not start that.
Dave and his other brother, Dave.
Hi, I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
That was good.
How's it going, eh?
It was mad.
So, dude, did you spill coffee on your computer?
I spilled coffee on my feet, actually.
Okay.
Well, at least you didn't have to unplug your feet where you would have your keyboard.
Did it damage them?
No, they're okay. They're okay.
Do they smell better now?
I don't know. I haven't been down there.
I'm not going there.
And tonight we smell Tony, aka Spool 32's feet.
Whee!
Stop it. I mean it. Anybody want a peanut? You're really low now. I can't hear you.
I wasn't eating the phone.
Oh. Eating the phone? Well, here's some pepper flavored salt for your phone.
My head.
How much time do you have tonight, Tony?
I got all the time in the world.
I got about 10 minutes. I need to go watch Dancing with the Stars.
Okay, well, then it'll be a short session then.
That was funny. That was funny.
Hi, I'm Tony, a.k.a. Spook. And that didn't work out at all.
Edit that out.
That is going to sound so cool when you hear that playback.
Okay, slow it down.
I'm going to repeat that one at the end, you know, and add the echo, you know, like you do, like we do. That'd be cool.
God. Right.
Trying to loosen you up. Check it off. Yes. Pour some more coffee on your feet.
Now for something completely different.
Hi, I'm Spool32, and I've forgotten my name. You guys,
hello, I'm Spool32, and I've spilled coffee on my feet.
Screwed me up.
Success.
Hi, I'm Tony, aka Spool32, and you are listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Oh, well done. Well,
guess what? Guess what?
You didn't record
it. You have to do it again.
Sure.
It's our tradition. We make you do it twice.
Right. Hi, I'm Tony, a.k.a. Spool32, and you are listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
There you go. See that? That wasn't so bad, was it?
Not at all. On the fifth try.
Easy for you to say. That's what they always tell me. How many times have I told you to put that mic back in your mouth?
Who, me?
Somehow I don't think.
Okay, now do it real deep voice.
Till next time.
I gotta go put my kids to bed.
Okay, now in a British accent.
Get in game and level up.
Do that again. Who did that?
Not me.
Till next time, get in game and level up.
Oh, do your strange man voice that you got on my not yet released Jack and the Beanstalk 2 that I left finished.
Until next time, get in game and level up.
There you go.
Until next time, Sonny.
Okay, that's a wrap.